Wave Farm Radio and WGXC 90.7 FM, hands-on community radio, present Sonic Anthropology with Comrade Squilge on Radio Stew. 8 nights of binaural motion, recombinant waves, reimagined sound maps, phonographic ephemera, ethnographic archives, media archaeology, generative texts, resultant melodies, revenant memories, interspecies communication, and post-human voices. Episode 3, Vox Inhumana. Voices of the Not-Human, and the Not-Not-Human.
The landscape that I see when I look through the window is not as it ought to be, and the things out there do not know how to behave. Some nights, the winds desperately howl around my house, because they cannot tear it down. The rain that I observe through the window is bad. It is bad because it falls on me without having consulted me.
We want to know is how to carry out the God's design.
Life. What should we forget?
What keeps you here? Go! Go to your captors.
Life. You see and still are blind. Following me. Blind. Furnish you a birthday and a death. I tell you this, The man you seek for from another universe. That man, I say, is here. A stranger, you saw? A stranger. Soon you shall see him openly displayed, a Stephen Bourne, and shattered by the honor. Blind instead of seeing. A beggar, he who once was rich. Banished to distant lands, tapping his way through a stick. Oh, yes, detecting his very heart of hope, his children's father, and their brother. Sons and husbands. Thank you.
Once upon a time, the fires on the sun went out, and darkness fell over the earth. I turn on the radio. The omnipresent waves invade my body. My head is filled with voices. Am I crazy? How can voices in your head possibly exist? Spectral emanations, like the sacred voices of the dead. A voice without a body, like the divine voice, it cannot be ignored. It is discorporeal. This is the source of its mystical authority. Moses was minding his own business when he heard the voice of God, his deep commanding baritone resonating, radiating from a fire in the bulrushes, the detached voice of authority. Moses was no fool. He obeyed. Divine revelation, hidden voices, this was a communications revolution. Spread the word, God said. Spread the gospel. But Moses was tongue-tied. So he got his brother Aaron to be a spokesperson, God's own spin doctor. This worked well enough for everyday judgments, but when it came to laying down the law, God was taking no chances with the speech of prophets. He wrote his commandments down, so stuttering Moses and slick Aaron couldn't twist his words in the people's ears. Of course, nobody else knew for sure what went on between God and Moses up there at the summit of Mount Sinai. All they really knew was that when the word came down from on high, there it was, carved in stone. The written word triumphed over the heard, and the word begat the law.
I want to go way back today, back some 2,600 years into the past.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was manifest and had meaning. Everything had a name. Then came rupture, and the sign was detached from its object. Language, according to Walter Benjamin, became a condition. Floating signifiers detached from material bodies. Language was no longer a manifestation, but a representation of physical reality. And out of this rupture between words and things came law.
King Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man.
After the prophets broke the ice, anybody could say he had a message from God. People would have to take his word for it. The tyranny of language legitimized power by fiat.
Great testimony in the land of Babylon.
Thomas Jefferson, a slaveholder, wrote in the first draft of the document, referendum.
The violence of the word. Declared war begins with a war of words.
Peace will be held to an absolute minimum. This is an historic moment. We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. What we're doing is going to chart the future of the world for the next 100 years.
The
Tower of Babel was built on sand. When it fell, the words splintered into 1,000 languages. Out of the fractured words came difference. Out of difference came nations. And out of nations came the state.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had there been an actual emergency, your local station, in conjunction with the relevant federal authorities, would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.
Help! 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 Police! Police!
In the 17th century, the old world order was ripped apart. Historians call it the general crisis. And the modern state, as we know it, is its aftermath. Out of the rupture came the law. Out of chaos came the rule of monarchs, Hobbes's Leviathan. The mass is embodied in the king, the emblem of state power, but the state is a fiction.
Write it down for me.
A shifting wall of sand.
Write it down for me.
Winds blow, foundations crumble, dust to dust. After 30 years of war, the old lines had dissolved. When the dust finally cleared, the empires of Europe lay in ruins, and a new kind of state was the dominant power, Louis XIV's France. L'état, c'est moi, said Louis. I am the state. He reigned for 72 years, about the lifespan of the Soviet Union, or the American Union before the Civil War.
Louis' right was so divine, his luminescence was so dazzling, they called him the Sun King. Radio waves are propagated by sunspots, the solar flares that come and go in regular but unpredictable cycles, although no one has ever been able to figure out exactly how this happens. Nevertheless, when the sun gets hotter, waves travel farther and reception improves. When the sun cools down, transmissions wither and die in the ether, and we hear the faint, lonely frequencies of static and interference, the background radiation of the solar system itself. A unique solar phenomenon apparently occurred during the reign of the Sun King. Those 72 years were the only period in recorded history when there were no sunspots. In other words, while the state was embodied in the Sun King, the fires on the sun practically went out. So brilliant was his radiance that the sun itself dimmed in obeisance. Or, to look at it another way, the earth was so starved for sunlight, France manufactured its own by electrifying the king. The Palace of Light and Mirrors at Versailles was the state power plant. Either way, most people were preoccupied by the chain of disasters resulting from the solar generator blowing out. The global climate cooled, crops failed. While Louis, who was the state, lived in opulence, the people and the land, who were the nation, were plunged into depression, famine, chaos, pestilence, war, death, general crisis, the crucible in which the modern state was forged. Eventually, the Sun King died, the sunspots returned, and the Enlightenment got underway. But the astronomers say that the lack of sunspots at the time of Louis XIV could mean that the fires on the sun have a much longer cycle than we thought. It could happen all over again. There is an intimate connection between the power of the king and the land. The place where the ruler's word is law marks the territorial boundary of the nation state. The territory under control of the Mangbetu kings of northeastern Zaire is determined by the loudness of their talking signal drums. If you're within the sound of their voice, you're in the kingdom. The oral boundary of the state lies at the threshold of hearing its broadcast signal. Napoleon encouraged the invention of the semaphore. Not to be outdone, Tsar Nicholas I planned to build a chain of signal towers stretching from St. Petersburg to the Bering Strait and down into Mexico. In his story, Mind's Meat, Walter Abish imagines that the pre-Columbian pyramids were signal towers and that the Russian signal operators received transmissions from the ancient Mayans. According to Abish, these voices of the sacred dead were transcribed, but no one could understand their archaic language. In any case, the scheme faltered when signal operators found there was more money in carrying commercial messages, and the Tsar, distracted by more pressing problems, soon lost interest. Thomas Edison considered the phonograph a spirit medium. Edison believed electricity was a channel for the voices of the dead. Meanwhile, his chief engineer was helping to invent the electric chair. The same current that jolted the soul from the body could carry the ghost's report back from the other side.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
The divine king has an evil twin. The executor of the executive branch, the king's employee, the executioner, a strangely familiar figure, mysterious intimate, silent companion, uninvited guest, masked man. When Louis XVI was beheaded, Saint-Just declared the king's death the foundation of the new republic. In The Sociology of the Executioner, Roger Carrois wrote that the guillotining of Marie Antoinette, by contrast, evoked the crowd's passions. The encounter of the queen and executioner on history's gallows or in masked balls, he wrote, crystallized the moment of rupture when states die and are born. Today, Marie Antoinette's death mask is on display in the torture garden section of Madame Tussaud's wax museum.
Vive la République! Vive la France!
When the Eiffel Tower was first built, it just stood there. But with the discovery of radio came progress. As a giant transmitter, the tower could broadcast state power far and wide. Eiffel's Tower became a talking monument. The air was filled with voices. Electric Babylon.
Le super montage.
But the state soon lost interest in trumpeting its dominion. There was more money to be made in commercial broadcasting. A kind of oral skywriting filled the airwaves. With no intrinsic meaning, the radio wave is the ultimate floating signifier.
1917, general crisis. Once again, the empires of Europe lay in ruins.
In the din of war, language lost its referent. A babble of modern voices rang out. Fascists, Bolsheviks, futurists,
Dada. Irrationality and chaos ruled. Sound and meaning were divorced.
Elements into known languages.
The ambiguity of sound and meaning. Truth could no longer be distinguished from lies.
Express a translation of French words or other, or of French or, other sentences.
That's a lie.
Well, that too is a lie.
Doing a heroic thing into the business situation. Doing a heroic thing into the business situation. Doing a heroic thing.
President Johnson said,
"Of the United States,
the United States government has been informed by military authorities
that material secrets,
American lives are in danger.
These
authorities are no longer able to guarantee their safety, and they have reported that the assistance of military."
I share your opinion.
A nice guy.
Or don't you remember?
I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it.
The president is confident.
The president, the president, salute the leader of our nation. The president, the president.
Civilization is saved from extinction.
The ruler, as in Clifford Geertz's theater state, consecrates the nation's political actors as divine ancestors. Their words, born in the heat of history, join the sacred voices of the dead, assuring succession and the continuity of the state.
To the microphone.
He was a man. I shall not look upon his like again. Richard Nixon. That's a great battle.
News about analysis and reports to current affairs.
To NPR, National Public Radio.
Because the wilderness is silent like this and has these illusions.
A wire in the brain.
Variety channel.
Secret broadcasts received through metal fillings in the teeth. Through the vibrating medium of the body. Radio waves enter the brain. These waves bombard us constantly. Though you cross the frequency spectrum, we are bathed in words. Marconi paces the beach on Cape Cod, stands at the base of a windswept metal tower, straining his ears, listening for a clear, unmistakable signal in the ether. Finally, through the wind and the surf and the white noise, a few barely audible clicks form a pattern. It's the first transatlantic transmission. The telegraph company is in business. The Navy starts to get anxious. The message itself is forgotten. Hidden voices in the ether. Messages from disembodied spirits. Sacred fire in the bulrushes. Like waves in the air, the state is everywhere and nowhere. Invisible and all-pervasive. The disembodied voice, whose secret and power is its non-existence. It lives only in time, yet it conquers space. The state grows old, brittle, finally a rupture. The new is born, and the cycle begins again. For a moment, history stands still. The dead raise their voices, and their words are carried to our ears by the exploding fires on the sun. The waves that carry the sacred text, that make the law, that found the state, the wall of sand. The words come without warning. At any time, somewhere in the world, the founding moment of rupture may come. The threshold between the living and the dead. And so we listen for the bulletin, the breaking story, the sound of states dying and being born.
This could be the sacred moment.
Cybernetic Explanation by Gregory Bateson, 1967. It may be useful to describe some of the peculiarities of cybernetic explanation. Causal explanation is usually positive. We say that billiard ball B moved in such and such a direction because billiard ball A hit it at such and such an angle. In contrast to this, cybernetic explanation is always negative. We consider what alternative possibilities could conceivably have occurred and then ask why many of the alternatives were not followed, so that the particular event was one of those few which could, in fact, occur. The classical example of this type of explanation is the theory of evolution under natural selection. According to this theory, those organisms which were not both physiologically and environmentally viable could not possibly have lived to reproduce. Therefore, evolution always followed the pathways of viability. As Lewis Carroll has pointed out, the theory explains quite satisfactorily why there are no bread and butterflies today.
Önce belirtilen gibi, the cause of events is said to be subject to restraints and it is assumed that, apart from such restraints, the pathways of change would be governed only by equality of probability. In fact, the restraints upon which Gebernetic's explanation depends can in all cases be regarded as factors which determine inequality of probability. If we find a monkey striking a tip every turn apparently at random but in fact writing a meaningful process, we shall look for restraints either inside the monkey or inside the tip every turn. Perhaps the monkey could not strike in appropriate letters, perhaps the type bars could not move if improperly struck. Perhaps in your age letters could not survive on the paper. Somewhere must have been a circuit which could identify it and eliminate it.
Idali, uncommonly, the actual event in any sequence or aggregate is unequally determined between the times of the cybernetic explanation, restraints of many different scenes may combine to generate this unique determination. For example, the selection of a piece for a given position in a given subject is restrained by many factors. Each shape must conform to ta to fixer av neighborsam possibly ta to fre bolmar of the pusle. Its color must conform to the color pattern of its region. The orientation of its edges must be the topological regularities set by the cutting machine in which the pusle was made, and so on. From the point of view of the man who is trying to solve the pusle, Tesseraltus, Jesu huskes oppinformation vil guide him in his selection. From the point of view of the cybernetic observer, Tesseraltus, similarly, from the cybernetic point of view, a word in a sentence, or a letter within the word, or the anatomy of some part within an organism, or the role of a species in an ecosystem, or the behavior of a member within a family, TCR2B, negative I, explained by an analysis of restraints.
The negative form of the explanations is precisely comparable to the form of logical proof by reductio ad absurdum. In this species of proof, a sufficient set of mutually exclusive alternative propositions is enumerated, for example B and not B, and the process of proof proceeds by demonstrating that all but one of the set are untenable or absurd. It follows that the surviving member of the set must be tenable within the terms of the logical system. This is a form of proof which the non-mathematical sometimes find unconvincing and, no doubt, the theory of natural selection sometimes seems unconvincing to non-mathematical persons for similar reasons, whatever those reasons may be. Another tactic of mathematical proof which has its counterpart in the construction of cybernetic explanations is the use of mapping or Euler's metaphor. An algebraic proposition may, for example, be mapped onto a system of geometric coordinates and they're proven by geometric methods. In cybernetics, mapping appears as a technique of explanation whenever a conceptual model is invoked or, more concretely, when a computer is used to simulate a complex communicational process. But this is not the only appearance of mapping in this science. Formal processes of mapping, translation or transformation are, in principle, imputed to every step of any sequence of phenomena which the cyberneticist is attempting to explain. These mappings or transformations may be very complex. for example, where the output of some machine is regarded as a mirror-transform of the input, or they may be very simple, for example, where the rotation of a shaft at a given point along its length is regarded as a transform, albeit identical, of its rotation at some previous point. The relations which remain constant under such transformation may be of any conceivable kind.
This parallel between cybernetic explanation and the tactics of logical or mathematical proof is of more than trivial interest. Outside of cybernetics,
the look for explanation
is not for anything which would simulate logical proof. This simulation of proof is something new. We can say, however, with
bonjour,
hints of wisdom, that explanation is simulation of logical
française.
Or mathematical proof was expectable. After all, the subject matter of cybernetics is not events and objects but information carried by events and objects. We consider the object of events only as proposing propositions, messages, percepts and the like. The subject matter being propositional. In
this expected
that explanation would simulate the logical. Cybernetics and have specialized in those explanations. Explanations which simulate reductio ad absurdum and mapping, there are perhaps whole realms of explanation awaiting discovery die sommige mathematicien who will recognize. In the informational aspects of nature, sequences which simulate the types of proof.
Because the subject matter of cybernetics is the propositional or informational aspect of the events and objects in the natural world, this science is forced to procedures either different from those of the other sciences. The differentiation, for example, between map and territory, which the scientists insist that scientific respect in the writings must, in cybernetics, be watched for in the very phenomena about which the scientist writes. Expectably, communicating organisms and badly programmed computers will mistake map for territory, and the language of the scientist must be able to cope with such anomalies in human behavioral systems, especially in religion and ritual and wherever primary process dominates the sin. The mammofin is the sink named, the bread is the body, and the wine is the blood. Similarly, the whole matter of induction and deduction and or doctrine preferences for one or the other will take on a new significance when we recognize inductive and deductive steps not only in room nor government, but in the relationships among the
especially interesting is the connection is the relationship between context and its content. A phone exists in such only in combination with other phonemes which may happen. The word is the context, the phoneme, but the word only exists in such only has meaning in the larger context of the utterance, which
a much smaller frog with paired vocal sacs that appear as balloon-like protuberances on each side of the throat is a leopard frog, ranipipians. This is its mating call.
The scientist always to seek for explanation in the ever larger units. It may, perhaps, be true in physics that the explanation of the macroscopic is to be sought in the macroscopic. The opposite is usually true in cybernetics. Without context, there is no communication.
Kompletteringer til karakter of cybernetic explanation. Information is uantifnet i negative terms. Använd ordet sursans T1K in avgiven position i T-text och får message mitt har B1 och T-limited set av 26 lättes i T-engelskörvars. T-aktor av ett exklumes. Ge eliminates byres draget. 25 alternat till press. In kompare som vitt annan engelsk lättes. A-pines i noggrat boel har exkludet sagral to samt alternat till press. B-sorg. T-ria förväl. Ta T-skines i noggrat karismor i information på en T-lätt. Typ U-antiktig av information i skolvänt om man är expressed av stelhet och basen av T-probability av T-aktual eventor objekt och tidskontext. Probability. Men av ratjobbet vi är inte uantiktig speech haver similar dimensions i sitt self of zero dimensions. Vad is? T-central explanatorik antity. Information. Is of zero dimensions.
uentities og frialdimensjonsmass, length, time, anti-derivativeness, force, energy, etc. Havenokras i
insulinetikkingsplanet.
Det status of energi is of special interest, in general in communicational systems, where deal with sequences we create and the stimulus and responses at that hands out an effect, when one billiard ball strikes an appear, till is an energy transfer sucked out a motion of the second ball is energy subbed the impact of the first. In communicational systems, under og per han, det energi rof da response is usually provided by the respondent. I fikk ikke dog, his immediately sequential behavior is energized by his metabolism, not by my kick. Similarly, when one neuron fires an appear, or an impulse from a microphone activates a circuit, the sequent event has its own energy sources. Ouche, every tentat happens is still within the limits defined by the law of energy conservation. Tadon's metabolism within the limit is responsible, in general, in the systems with which we deal, the energy surplus are large compared with the demons upon and long before the surplus are exhausted, economic limitations are imposed by the finite number of available alternatives. Yet there is an economics of probability. His economics differs from an economics of energy or monetary probability. Bearing a ratio, is not subject to addition or subtraction but only two multiplicative processes, suchise fraction addition, a teleponic signs at the time of emergency may be jammed when a large fraction of its alternative pathways are busy. There is ten, a low probability of regiving message getting through, in addition to the rest lines due to the limited economics of alternatives, through other categories of rest lines must be disused, rest lines. Svelatte to feedback kan reste en svelatte to redundansyk.
We consider first the concept of feedback, when the phenomena of the universe are seen as linked together by cause and effect and energy transfer, the resulting picture is of complexly branching and interconnecting chains of causation. In certain regions of this universe, notably organisms in environments, ecosystems, thermostats, steam engines with governors, societies, computers, and the like. These chains of causation form circuits which are closed in the sense that causal interconnection can be traced around the circuit and back through whatever position was, arbitrarily, chosen as the starting point of the description. In such a circuit, evidently, events at any position in the circuit may be expected to have effect at all positions on the circuit at later times. Such systems are, however, always open, in the sense that the circuit is energized from some external source and uses energy usually in the form of heater to the outside, and in the sense that events within the circuit may be influenced from the outside or may influence outside events.
Avoir une large et importante arme cybernétique risque concernant de formal caractéristique of such causal circuit, and the condition of their stability. Irish shall consider such systems only as source restreint. Consider a variable in the circuit at any position and supposed the variable subject to random changing value, the change parabole imposed by impact of some events external to the circuit. We know ask how the change will affect the value of the variable at the time when the sequence of effects come around the circuit. Clearly the answer to the last question will depend upon the characteristic of the circuit and will, therefore, be not random. In principle, a causal circuit will generate a non-random response to a random event at the position in the circuit at which the random event occurred. Typical de général requisite for the creation of cybernetic restreint les mêmes variables at any given position. The particular restraint created in any given instance will, of course, depend upon the
de caractéristiques de particular circuit. Whether you overall gain be positive or negative, e-time characteristic, e-threshold of activity, etc. The will together determine the restraint which it will exert. Given position, fortune, the cybernetic explanation. Look for restraint, EG for a circuit which will be activated by changing rate and wish. When activated, will preoccupant some variable, EG the fuel supply, in such a way as to diminish the changing rate. When the monkey is observed to be, improbably, tipping pros, we shall look for some circuit which is activated when heavy make a mistake and wish. When activated, will delete the evidence of the mistake at the position where it occurred. The cybernetic method of negative explanation reste de question. Is there a difference between Berricht and not Baron? Should we say of the Rhein Amaz Tayali Ernest de Richt Pator? Should we say only Tayali Ernest to avoid the Rhein Bat?
Subjectively, I feel that I know how to spell a number of English words, and I am certainly not aware of discarding as unrewarding the letter K when I have to spell the word money, yet. In the first level cybernetic explanation, I should be viewed as actively discarding the alternative K when I spell money. The question is not trivial and the answer is both subtle and fundamental. Choices are not all at the same level. I may have to avoid error in my choice of the word money in a given context. Discarding the alternatives, few, several, frequent, etc. But if I can arrive at this higher level choice on a negative base, it follows that the word money and its alternatives somehow must be conceivable to me, must exist as distinguishable and possibly labeled or coded patterns in my neural processes. If they do, in some sense, exist, then it follows that, after making the higher level choice of what word to use, I shall not necessarily be faced with alternatives at the lower level. It may become unnecessary for me to exclude the letter K from the word money. It will be correct to say that I know positively how to spell money, not merely that I know how to avoid making mistakes in spelling that word.
It follows that Lewis Carroll's joke about the theory of natural selection is not entirely cogent if, in the canonical, shy anal and organizational processes of biological evolution there be something like levels items, patterns and possibly patterns of patterns then it's logically possible for the evolutionary system to make something like positive choices, such levels and patterns.Might conceivably be more among genes or else were. The subtlety of the above-mentioned monkey's body required to recognize deviations from pros and pros is characterized by pattern as the engineers call it by redundancy. The occurrence of the letter K in a given location in a mingritsy pros message is not purely random event in the sense that there was ever an equal probability.That any other of the 23 letters might have occurred in that location. Some letters are more common in English than others, and certain Kamubina, Cheyenne's umb letters are more common than others. There is, thus, a species of patterning which partly determines which letters shall occur in which slots. As a result, if the receiver of the message had received the entire rest of the message,But had not received the particular letter K who is still here at this casting, he might have been able, with better than random success, to guess that the missing letter was in fact K. To the extent that this was so, the letter K debits do not for that receiver, exclude the other 25 letters because the bits were already partly excluded debits do by information who is still the recipient received fromザレストオブザメズ、セイジ、ジスパタニングオアプレデスイクタビリティオブパテリキューライベントスウィズインエラジアグラゲッツとオブイベントスイズテクニ Hikari called redundancy the concept of redundancy is usually derived, as I have derived it, by considering first the maximum of information which might be carried by the given item and then considering how this total might be reduced by knowledge of the surrounding patterns of which the given item is a component part. There is, however, a case for looking at the whole matter the other way round. We might regard patterning or predictability as the very essence and transcend factory of communication and see the single letter unaccompanied by collateral clues was a peculiar and special case.
The idea that communication is the creation of redundancy or patterning can be applied to the simplest engineering examples. Let us consider an observer who is watching A send a message to B. The purpose of the transaction, from the point of view of A and B, is to create in B's message pad a sequence of letters identical with the sequence which formerly occurred in A's pad. But from the point of view of the observer, this is the creation of redundancy. If he has seen what A had on his pad, he will not get any new information about the message itself from inspecting B's pad.
Evidently, the net view of meaning, pattern, redundancy, information and the like, depends on where we sit. In the overall engineer's discussion of a message sent from A to B, it is customary to omit the observer and to see it be received information from A which was memorable in terms of the number of letters transmitted, reduced by such redundancy in the text as might have permitted between us and Johnson. But in a wider universe, I define by the point of view of the observer, it's no longer a mere easy transmission of information but rather as a spreading of redundancy. The activities of the end we have combined to make the universe of the observer more predictable, more ordered and more redundant. We may see the rules of the game played by the end be explained as restraints. What would otherwise be a puzzling and improbable coincidence in the observer's universe, namely the conformity between what is written and the two message bodies?
Douglas, in essence, is to face a cut or slash in the sequence of items and to predict as rostat slash had items mixed beyond the other side, the slash may be spatial or temporal, or both, and the guessing may be either predictive or retrospective. A pattern, in fact, is definable as an aggregate of events or objects which will permit in some degree subassessment the entire aggregate is not available for inspection. But this sort of patterning is also a very general benum enon, outside the realm of communication between organisms. The reception of message material by an organism is not fundamentally different from ani od herca self-perception. If E, S, E, E, T, 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 T,
If then if we say the same thing as meaning or as some referent, what we mean is that there is a larger universe of relevance consisting of message plus referent, and that redundancy or pattern or predictability is introduced into this universe by the message. If I say to you it is raining, this message introduces redundancy into the universe, message plus raindrops, so that from the message alone you could have guessed, with better than random success, something of what you would see if you looked out of the window. The universe, message plus referent, is given pattern or form. In the Shakespearean sense, the universe is informed by the message, and the form of which we are speaking is not in the message nor is it in the referent. It is a correspondence between message and referent. In Lou's talk, it seems simple to locate information. The letter K in a given slot proposes that the letter in that particular slot is a K in. So long as all information is of this very direct kind, the information can be located. The information about the letter K is seemingly in that slot. The matter is not quite so simple if the text of the message is redundant, but if we are lucky and the redundancy is of low order, we may still be able to point to parts of the text which indicate, carry some of the information, that the letter K is expectable in that particular slot. But if we are asked, where are such items of information as that A, this message is in English, and B, in English, a letter K often follows a letter C, except when the C begins a word, we can only say that such information is not localized in any part of the text but is rather a statistical induction from the text as a whole, or perhaps from an aggregate of similar texts. This, after all, is meta information and is of a basically different order, of different logical type, from the information that the letter in this slot is K. This matter of the localization of information has bedeviled communication theory and especially neurophysiology for many years, and it is, therefore, interesting to consider how the matter looks if we start from redundancy, pattern or format the basic concept. It is flatly obvious that no variable of zero dimensions can be truly located. Information and form resemble contrast, frequency, symmetry, correspondence, congruence, conformity and the like in being of zero dimensions and, therefore, are not to be located. The contrast between this white paper and that black coffee is not somewhere between the paper and the coffee and, even if we bring the paper and coffee into close juxtaposition, the contrast between them is not thereby located or pinched between them, nor is that contrast located between the two objects in my, it is not even in my head, or, if it be, then it must also be in your head. But you, the reader, have not seen the paper and the coffee to which I was referring. I have in my head an image or transform or name of the contrast between them, and you have in your head a transform of what I have in mine. But the conformity between us is not localizable. In fact, information and form are not items which can be localized.
It is interesting to note that meta-slashes which demarcate what is necessary for the naive observer to discover a rule are, in principle, displaced relative to the slashes which would have appeared on the map prepared by an observer totally informed as to the rules of redundancy for that aggregate. This principle is of some importance in aesthetics. To the aesthetic eye, the form of a crab with one claw bigger than the other is not simply asymmetrical. It first proposes a rule of symmetry and then subtly denies the rule by proposing a more complex combination of rules.
WGXC, Accra.